Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Feel free to download these audio files and share them with your friends and family. Please consider joining our virtual community and supporting our efforts for the kingdom by clicking on the support button at BethEmmanuel.org.
The first chapter of the book of Revelation, the vision and apocalypse beheld by John the Apostle while he sojourned in exile on the island of Patmos under the command of the reprehensible Emperor Domitian. Revelation chapter 1 verse 10 says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, a voice like a shofar. A text for Rosh Hashanah, the Lord's day, you might say, the day of the trumpet, the day of the shofar, kol shofar in Hebrew, the voice of the trumpet. John heard a loud voice like a trumpet. And who is this who speaks in a voice like the voice of a shofar? Verse 12 says, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white, like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and his voice was like the roar of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. This terrifying vision that John beheld is a vision of the resurrected Yeshua of Nazareth. It alludes to the seventh chapter of the book of Daniel, a high holiday text where it says, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat, and his clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were a burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. A thousand thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. And then it says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. His kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed. Now John has this privilege, like Daniel the seer before him. He has the privilege to see one like the Son of Man. John sees a vision of the Son of Man, but more than that, he hears, the one with a voice like a shofar. And the aspect of the Son of Man is terrifying. His face is like the face of an angel. His appearance like a Son of Man, terrible to behold, now appearing in his glory. Just as he had promised 60 years earlier, a whole lifetime ago, he said to his disciples, some among those standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his glory. And John was among those who stood in his presence when Yeshua of Nazareth spoke those words a lifetime ago. Now on the island of Patmos, he remained as the last of the 12 disciples, the very last. The others had all fallen asleep. His brother James was the first. He'd been laying in a tomb these 60 years. 30 years had elapsed since Nero ordered Peter's crucifixion. A quarter century had passed since the destruction of Jerusalem. But all these years, John the son of Zebedee lived on, waiting and watching, waiting for the promised coming of the Son of Man, watching for the day of his appearing, listening for the sound of the shofar and the voice of the trumpet, while his brothers slept the sleep of death. Some in their time, some before their time, some by water, some by fire, some by sword, some by wild beast, some by strangulation, some by stoning, some in peace, some in trouble, some in tranquility, some in suffering, but all had perished. If anyone is to be taken captive, the book of Revelation says, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword he must be slain. Here is a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. And so they had all gone into that endurance and faith. Men of whom the world was not worthy, they had all perished, except for one. And all these many years he waited. For what he waited he knew not, for death or for the trumpet. And all these many years he listened, always waiting to hear that sound, the sound of the voice of the shofar. How many Rosh Hashanahs had come and gone, weary year after weary year, trumpet after trumpet, but still the Master did not come. Still his 11 colleagues slept in silence, unmoving as stone, cold as the earth itself that closed around them. Peter slept in Rome, Andrew in Greece, James and Matthias in Jerusalem, James the Less in Galilee, Thomas in India, Thaddeus and Bartholomew in Armenia, Philip in Hierapolis, and so it went, one after another, some in the Holy Land, some in the diaspora, but all of them dead, except for John. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And then it came to pass that one day John heard the sound for which his ears had so long strained to hear, the voice of a shofar, the voice of one who spoke like the voice of a trumpet. And he turned to see the voice that was speaking to him. And it says in verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are, and those that are to take place after this. Our Master holds the keys to death and the keys to Sheol. That's what it says here, death and Hades. What are the keys to death and Hades? These are the keys to death and Sheol. Don't think of Dante's Inferno, and don't think of the church's depictions of hell. We aren't talking about the keys to the gates over which it says, abandon all hope, all ye who enter here. Rather, the keys to death and Hades should be read as the keys to death and Sheol. That is to say, the keys to the state of death and the realm of death. The keys to those gates that keep the dead dead. The keys to those gates of which he once said, upon this rock I will build my assembly, and the gates of Sheol will not prevail against it. When Yeshua says the gates of Sheol will not prevail against his assembly, it means that the assembly of Messiah will pass through those gates. When the gates of Sheol prevail, the dead stay dead. When the gates of Sheol fail, the dead do not stay dead. The gates of Sheol will not prevail because he has the keys. It does not matter how strong the door or how firm the latch and the lock if one comes who holds the keys. He holds the keys to death and Sheol because, as he explained to John, I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Therefore, he holds the keys of death and Sheol. And the Talmud explains that there are three keys which are held by the Holy One, blessed be he. Rabbi Yochanan said, three keys the Holy One, blessed be he, has retained in his own hands and not entrusted to the hand of any messenger, namely the key of rain, the key of childbirth, and the key of the resurrection of the dead. So the Holy One, blessed be he, retains these three keys in his hands. He does not entrust them to the hand of an angel, but he has placed the key of the resurrection of the dead into the hands of his servant, into the hands of his son, the keys of death and Sheol. Therefore, Yeshua wields the power, the authority to unlock the grave, It says in the Talmud, he keeps the key of the resurrection of the dead, for it is written, then you will know that I am the Lord when I have unlocked your graves. And so we see this authority depicted in this very scene on the island of Patmos, when the apostle John turns to see the voice that spoke with him, and he fell at his feet. As though dead, but the living one touches him. He lays his right hand on him, saying, fear not. And he raises him to life again, so to speak. And he said to him, I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, behold, am alive forevermore, and I have the keys. These are the words spoken by the one with the voice like a shofar. God has entrusted one of the three keys into his hand. One who has the key has the power to unlock a thing. Our master has the keys to unlock death, to unlock Sheol, and to release the dead. There is a scene in the mystical and apocalyptic Hechelot Rabbati in which the kings of the nations challenge King Messiah to a contest, and they say to him, if we conquer you, what will you give us? And he replies, if you conquer me, behold, I and all the children of Israel will be your slaves. So they accept the terms of the offer, and they say, what is the challenge? And he says, the thing which I propose is small and is not great. He who brings to life all these slain shall be king over us. Straightway their words are stopped up, and they have no mouth to speak. The resurrection of the dead, it's a rather unsettling thought. One thing we know about the dead, generally, is that they stay that way. You might say that death is a life sentence with no chance of parole, unless, of course, unless someone unlocks the door and lets you out. And on Rosh Hashanah, that's where our thoughts go, because according to Jewish tradition, we celebrate the new year because it is the anniversary of the creation of the first man, the anniversary of the creation of Adam. And in that regard, Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of human mortality, the anniversary of the day that death took its position of authority over the sons of men. As Paul says, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned because of one man's trespass. Death reigned through that one man. And ever since then, whether we want to or not, we all taste death sooner or later. And death is something we seem to understand pretty well, as it says in Ecclesiastes 9:5, for the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no reward, and the memory of them is forgotten. We know that with death, there are certain rules which must be abided, and one of them is that no one gets out alive. The psalmist says in Psalm 49:11, their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. And the psalm goes on, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish, like sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell. And it says, his soul will go down to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Certain rules apply in death. The psalmist asks, rhetorically in Psalm 88, do you work marvels for the dead, O Lord? Do the departed rise up to praise you? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, no, they do not. God does not perform marvels for the dead. No, the departed do not rise up, nor do they praise him. The words of the Hallel in Psalm 115 say, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. And the Psalms refer to Sheol as the land of silence. Psalm 94:15 says, "If the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence." We do not expect anyone to rise from that silence. And when we have entered that silence in the land of silence, as Hamlet says at the end of Shakespeare's most famous tragedy, he says, "The rest is silence." But what if there was a sound that could break that silence? The sound of a voice, something that even the dead could hear. The great Rav Saida Gaon, a 10th century rabbi, compiled a list of 10 reasons for the sounding of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and the list concludes with the resurrection of the dead. We sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah to symbolize the resurrection of the dead. As it says in Isaiah 18:3, "All you inhabitants of the world, you who dwell on earth, when a signal is raised on the mountains, look! When a trumpet is blown, hear!" So according to the sages, the sound of the shofar that heralds the great redemption, will penetrate even into the land of silence, so that those who dwell in the earth, who sleep the sleep of death, will hear the sound of the shofar. The prophet Isaiah commands the dead, saying, "When a trumpet is blown, hear it." A sound will pierce the land of silence, shattering the silence of it, with a sudden sound filling nothingness with something, with one thing, with the sound of a trumpet, the sound of a voice. And the dead will hear the trumpet that sounds when the one like the Son of Man comes on the clouds and the books are opened. Listen to what Yeshua says. He says in John 5:25-29, he says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." So Yeshua says that the dead will hear his voice. They will hear the voice of the one who speaks with the voice like a shofar. From where did he obtain this power to raise the dead? How did he obtain the keys to death and Sheol? He explains in John 5, "I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will." Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the high holidays, when the thrones are set in place, and the books are opened, and the book of death, and the book of life. It's a day for remembering the resurrection, when we petition God and ask him to write us into the book of life. And the prayers make mention of the resurrection, and we add extra petitions to the Amidah. And in the blessings of the fathers, we say, "Remember us for life, O King who takes pleasure in life, and inscribe us in the book of life for your sake, O God of life, O living God." And in the blessing of the resurrection, we add the words, "Who is like you, Father of compassion, who remembers those he formed for life with compassion? You are faithful to resurrect the dead." This is the day of the trumpet, when we remember the creation of Adam and all those he formed for life. Rosh Hashanah is the new year, when the sound of the voice of the trumpet calls us to repent and warns us of an impending day of judgment. How fortunate are those who know the sound of the shofar and the sound of the voice of the one who speaks with the voice of the shofar. He compares himself to a shepherd calling his sheep. He says, "The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." It's John 10. In that day and in that hour, the voice of King Messiah will be heard in the land of silence. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will awaken. All the righteous will be stirred. His disciples will stir at the sound of his voice. Their eyes will suddenly see light, and they will awaken. As it says in Ephesians 5:14, "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you." They will rise. The Lord will work marvels for the dead. They will rise and praise him. Blessed are those who know the sound of the voice of the shofar. As Yeshua says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And no one can snatch them away, because he has the keys to death and Sheol, which he obtained when he himself passed through the land of silence, through the valley of the shadow of death. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for he is with us. In his rod and his staff they comfort us. And we are among the number of those who know the Master's voice, who will recognize his voice and follow him." Are we among the number of those who know the Master's voice, who will recognize his voice and follow him? We hope to hear his voice in the land of silence. If so, we should accustom ourselves to hearing his voice speak now. If we want to be among those numbered in his flock who hear his voice and follow him out, we must accustom ourselves now to the sound of his voice, to hear his voice in this world, in this lifetime, before we enter the land of silence. The voice of the Master speaks in the language of the shofar. It's a language that the words of the shofar are a call to repentance. The voice of the shofar says, "Turn back, wayward ones, return to the Lord your God." If we will heed his voice now, we will merit to be among those who hear his voice in the land of silence. Not only that, but even now he will impart life to us that we might live more fully, abundantly. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And in that day we will hear him say, "Fear not. I'm the first and the last, the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys." Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.